Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And again, so happy to be back with you for another week of listening to what God is saying to us through His Word, and then saying, what are we doing about it? How is this transforming our lives? And, you know, friends, there's a couple things that I've just been noticing. And I think a lot of times when we go through life with Christ, like at the beginning of our walk with Him, we think like, oh, because I'm walking with the Lord, because I'm walking in faith, that means like all of my external circumstances are going to change, or like these less bad things are going to happen to me, or I'm going to hit less suffering or less inconvenience or all this different kind of stuff. And then when we were immature in the faith and we do hit everything from suffering to inconvenience, whatever it is, we are agitated because we're like, oh, this is like not supposed to happen. I'm not supposed to have stress. I'm not supposed to have all this kind of stuff because I'm walking with the Lord. And one thing that I've really noticed in this season of my life, and I think it really has to do with reading God's Word. Because friends, we've talked about on this show so much, almost every single week, you're probably sick of hearing about it, that we have a new life in Christ, particularly in this Easter season. We've been talking about living this new life in Christ, that we have a new life in the Spirit, that we are now a new creation. And as we've been reading and the Word of God has been filling me, it's also been profoundly transforming me. And I've just been noticing different things in my life, like inconveniences. Like even at the beginning of this week, I got sick and I had to stay in a place that I was traveling a day longer, or my computer broke, or my schedule has gotten every single day totally turned around, and nothing that I had planned to get done, I was able to get done. All of these things that they're not like real sufferings by any means, but there are these inconveniences that earlier on in my walk with the Lord would have really stressed me out or really frustrated me that I wasn't in control or things weren't going my way. And just really simply, I was reflecting today as I was coming here, and even as I was thinking about the scripture readings that we're going to go through this week, of being like, wow, I think reading God's Word and walking with Him in His Word and applying what He's saying to me in His Word is really changing me. And I think a lot of times we look for change in these like giant proofs, in these giant ways. But so I'm just saying all this to encourage you today, friends, at the start of a new week, before we're in between Easter and Pentecost, we've been talking about our new life in Christ, and we know because we believe it, that feeding on God's Word gives us spiritual food and makes us new. And so I want you to reflect this week and just notice in your own life, maybe little emotional changes, maybe ways that you're more peaceful, maybe ways that you don't snap at your kids as much, maybe things that don't bother you as much. And I think God gives us these proofs in our lives to really show us, look, I'm changing you. It's not just like a snap of the fingers and, oh, all of a sudden you look like Jesus. But sometimes realizing those little changes, being like, oh my gosh, I didn't get stressed over this thing that I normally would get stressed over, because I'm learning to trust the Lord. And I'm learning to be led by Him. I'm learning to cast all my anxieties on Him. I'm learning to face my circumstances, all these different things that we've been reading together in God's Word actually begin to change us. And it's a slow process, but I just want you to invite the Spirit this week. And as you reflect on becoming a new creation, as we continue to let God's Word feed us and dwell richly in our hearts, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you some of those little ways that you've changed, some of the fruit that the Spirit of God is bearing in you through reading God's Word. Amen. Amen. That's a good thing to do. Still technically during this Easter season, we still haven't transitioned into Pentecost. But one thing that I want to do this week that's a little unique is I want to read not just the daily readings from this week, but I want to read the first reading that was at the daily masses throughout the week after Easter. And I know that time has passed. I know we already read those readings, but I just really, since Easter happened and then we went through that week of readings, they're all from Acts. All of those first readings are from Acts, and they build on each other and they take us through that time after Jesus ascends into heaven. And I just kept meditating on them. I couldn't get away from them. They're so powerful. They point so much to how we're supposed to live after the resurrection. And so I felt really called to go back into the lectionary and to go back to that week after Easter and just reflect on each day, those first readings in Acts that God is bringing us to. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to go to that reading again tomorrow from the Tuesday, and we're going to go through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but we're going to do it for the week immediately following Easter from 2025, because this is just unbelievable passages. And again, I've been reading the readings of the day for the correct day, but then also I've been going back to these daily readings because I just think they're so powerful. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to read through those daily readings and then see what the Lord wants to say to us. So if you want to join me in prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and dive into that first reading from Acts. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I thank you for newness of life. I thank you that you encounter us here every time we come to meet you. I thank you, Lord, that you change us. In little ways, in big ways, that you regenerate us, you make us new, and that we really can live again as a new creation by the power of your Spirit. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you would guide us as we go back to these readings that your church has given us for the week after Easter, that you would just enlighten our hearts, and that you would show us something beautiful, amazing, powerful in each of these readings that would change our lives as we journey together this week. And we ask all this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what we're going to do each day is I'm just going to read the first reading from Acts. And it might take a little bit longer with the scripture reading just because we're going to read the whole first reading, because we're going to proclaim God's word and we're going to feast on it. And then we're just going to go through and see what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. So really simple. So I want you to be opening your mind and your heart as we read these readings. This is from Acts chapter 2. It says, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. You who are children of Israel, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, 'I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart has been glad and my tongue has exulted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised this Jesus. Of this we are all witnesses. And exalted at the right hand of God, he poured forth the promise of the Holy Spirit that he received from the Father, as you both see and hear. The word of the Lord. Amen. So you can see, even as I began to read this, why I wanted to go back through these passages in Acts. And we've been through a bit of Pentecost before on the show, and you can go back and listen to some of our shows about the Holy Spirit. But there's a few things that I want to point out that I think are so important. So this is what happens to the disciples after Jesus is raised from the dead. Why do we have Easter and then immediately following the whole week of readings, the church is giving us the birth of the church? Why don't we save that Acts 2 reading for the Pentecost vigil? Why don't we save that Acts 2 reading for when we celebrate Pentecost in June? Because the church is showing us that the resurrection power comes to us, and now how the disciples are living is the behavior of a resurrected people. How the disciples now begin to live in this quote-unquote Easter season, they're not just like, yay, Jesus rose from the dead, let's take some cute pictures and celebrate and hope that it's sunny and do an Easter egg hunt and then say happy Easter for 8 days. No, their way of life is fundamentally changed. And I love this. Starting at the end, Peter says, Jesus, he's been raised from the dead and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and from that place he sends his Holy Spirit. So right now, friends, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father and he's pouring pouring out again and again and again with a fresh anointing, his Holy Spirit, which gives us power to live a new way of life. So what are they doing? Peter, he stood up with the 11. This is the first time the Pope is proclaiming something in the chair of Peter. He's speaking infallibly because he's surrounded by his brother bishops. And so Peter, who was scared and timid and he was all over the place and he denied Jesus and then he loved him and he's doing the most and he's doing the least and he can't get it together. Right? He's all over the place. He's not a secure leader. When Jesus rises from the dead and sends him new life in the power of the Holy Spirit, he stands up and he proclaims with power. I love this. He says he raised his voice and proclaimed. He said, "Let this be known to you and listen to my words." If we're sharing the gospel, if we're proclaiming the gospel, we probably would feel so bossy if we said, "Let this be known to you and listen to my words," right? We're like, no, I need to suggest. I need to be gentle. And I'm not saying that we don't need to be gentle, that we don't need to come alongside people. We do. We need to walk in relationship. But there's a confidence that comes on the apostles when they're walking in the resurrected life, that they're saying, "This man, Jesus, rose from the dead, and I'm so sure of it. So listen to what I say." Peter's not like, "Hey, can I have your attention? For anyone who wants to listen, I really don't want to impose. I don't want to bother you. I know you're eating lunch. I know you're kind of chatting. Just, you know, let me just squeeze in here for a minute." He says, "No, listen to me. Listen to what I have to say. It's so important." He's speaking with a confidence. And then he begins to proclaim, friends, the whole gospel. And he says this, by the plan of God. We need to repeat this over and over again to ourselves. And we need to proclaim this to the world. By the plan of God, the only Son of God, Jesus, was made man. He came down to earth. He walked, he talked, he performed miracles by God's power. But you, by your sin, he's not just speaking to the Jews, he's speaking to all of us. But you killed him. But the throes of death could not hold him. How often do we say this to people? How often do we meditate on this ourselves outside of the Easter vigil, outside of the Easter season, outside of just that day when we're celebrating? This is the center of your life as a follower of Jesus. The throes of death could not hold him. This is what Peter proclaims. You killed him. I killed him through my sin. You killed him through your sin. But the throes of death could not kill him. And guess what? This was God's plan, so much so that he told David, "I will bring a king out of your line." Jesus was born in the line of David. I love that. And David proclaims it. And he says, his descendants upon the throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of Christ. This is the center that we need to keep at the center of our prayer, at the center of our lives, at the center of our relationships, at the center of our teaching. God raised Jesus. And of this, we are all witnesses. Friends, we're just beginning to see together the behavior of the apostles, the behavior of the church as it's born on Pentecost, living a new life in Christ. At the core is the proclamation of the resurrection of Jesus. And every day we need to keep this at our core. He came to earth, he died and rose again. And now today, even though it's not Easter, even though it's not the Easter vigil, you live a new way of life because your sin killed him, but the throes of death could not hold him, and God raised him from the dead. Join us again tomorrow.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.